Are you excited for the power of God to fall here today? You excited for the power of the Holy Spirit? That's what we're going to be talking about, is the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm excited for that. Are you excited? Oh, come on. Okay, when someone says, are you excited, and you say, yeah, that means you're not truly excited. So let's try this again. If you are excited, the Holy Spirit, the power is going to show up today. Let me hear it.
Yeah.
That's a little better. All right. Well, I just want to say welcome to everyone. If you are a guest here today, I just want to say how honored we are that you have chosen to come worship and learn about God with us. My name is Pastor Josh, and I am the senior pastor here at River of Hope, and we are excited for another great Sunday when we can worship and learn about God. We have just a couple of quick announcements. I don't think they're up there on the board, so I'll just go off the top of my head. Youth group continues Wednesday nights. Boy, last week we had a blast. Last week the kids went through a scavenger hunt through the city of Medford, and the girls beat the boys pretty handily. But we had a blast doing that. So we look forward. Youth group is 6:30 to 7:30 Wednesday nights. So. Is that next week or is that 2 weeks? I think that's 2 weeks. So not this week, but next week. Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. I'm not going to confuse people more than I already am. Originally, we were going to go do another service project today, but I am under the weather. I'm not sure what I'm dealing with. I think it's a sinus infection and allergies. So we're going to push that back to next month. But the other thing is we do have another backyard barbecue coming up. Boy, summer is done. It's summer is today and tomorrow, and then fall is going to be here. So we're going to try to get these last two in while we can. This one's going to be at the Parkinson's house. If you want to come and you want to bring food, I'm going to pass this around. You can sign up for anything you'd like to bring. John's is in October. So you'll forgive me if I close my eyes a lot today. The lights are really bothering me. So if I'm squinting a lot, it's not because I don't want to see all your faces. It's not because I'm deep in thought. It's just the lights are really bothering my eyes. The other thing I wanted to bring up is we are working on a Wednesday night group. It's going to be a Bible study. Yes, do you want to start this week or next week? Okay, so not that. Oh, that helps tremendously. Thank you very much. So not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, we'll work on times a little bit, but Wednesday nights will be a Bible study at Kevin Rowe's house. We'll have more information out next week for you guys. So you'll be looking at the book of Romans. You'll read one chapter a night, and you'll just break it down verse by verse, and you'll talk about what's impacting your life out of those verses. So it'll be a great time for everybody that can to get together to sharpen each other. It'll be great because if you have little kids who are doing Awana at First Baptist, there's Awana that night. If you have kids in youth group, they'll be here for youth group. So it'll be a perfect time. You can drop your kids off somewhere and then go to Kevin's house and sharpen each other. So we look forward to that. I believe anything else? So last week we kicked off our brand new series, Like a Mighty Rushing Wind, Understanding the Power of the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked about you need to understand that the Holy Spirit is not the third wheel in a relationship. He's more like the third wheel on a tricycle. You think it's easy to ride a tricycle with only two wheels? Try it one time. If you line it up like this, it is. But go find a tricycle, take off one of the back wheels, and try to ride it. You need that third wheel. And the Holy Spirit has a very specific purpose in our lives. Last week, we looked at the fact that he is our convictor. And we understand that he works on us when we're doing wrong. He works on us, keeps us straight. And we looked at the fact that he works on unbelievers and believers alike. Listen, I love spreading the gospel of Christ. I love spreading the good news that Christ died for your sins and rose again. But guess what? On my own, I'm not bringing anybody to Christ. The Holy Spirit first has to work on their hearts, and then all I do is present the good news, and the Holy Spirit continues to work. Because he's convicting them. But now, because we want to balance the bad news and the good news, last week it was kind of rough. We talked about how the Holy Spirit's like, man, when you screw up, the Holy Spirit's going to be there prodding you, telling you, hey, boy, you really messed up. He's very good at that, by the way. But there's also the flip side. The other important part he's supposed to do is he brings us comfort and peace and encouragement. So here's the questions we're going to answer. Where does comfort or peace come from? Do I have to do anything to receive it? Where does encouragement come from? Do I have to do anything to receive it? You'll see a pattern there, if you haven't noticed. What are the results of my actions? And finally, will I accept the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit? We will always, always, always ask ourselves, what are the results of my actions? Because here's what it comes down to. If I stand up here and I preach, and I give a great message that God has given me, and he leads me to say great things, but it doesn't change your life, then there's no point to this. The whole point is you examine yourself, and you walk out of here saying, huh, okay, maybe I need to do something about this. So when you leave here, you'll always see clearly what the results will be if you do it or if you don't do it. So where does comfort or peace come from? The Holy Spirit, after he convicts us, gets us right with God, he brings comfort and peace. If you look at all the letters that when Paul writes to the church, what does he say? He says, grace and peace. Why does he say grace first? Because he knows that none of us are perfect. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And even when we're Christians, we're going to mess up. I've shared enough about my own personal life. You know that I'm a screw up. But thank God that he covers me with grace. So Paul is saying grace first. Get right with God, he gives you grace, and because you have the grace, then peace comes to you. The Holy Spirit was sent by God to do, among other things, comfort us. He's known as the Comforter. And when I say comforter, I don't mean the big fat blanket you put on the bed. That's also a comforter. But John 16, 7. If you have your Bibles, open to John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. This is what Jesus is telling his disciples. Listen to these words. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. So it is good for you, it is right for you, it is most important for you that I go away. I think it doesn't make any sense. Why is Jesus saying, hey, I gotta leave? This is why. He says, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Who is the Comforter? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, if I don't leave, God's not going to send him. Remember we talked about greater things? That's why he has to leave. Jesus said, I got to die. I got to be resurrected. I got to go back to the Father so the Holy Spirit can come so you can do greater things than I've done here. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then we know that later on, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and he is still with us today. God sent him here to comfort us. Stay in John, go to John 14, verses 16 and 17. John 14, verses 16 and 17. John 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. For how long? So when someone tells you that the Holy Spirit is not for today, show them that verse. How long is the Holy Spirit here? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Where is he? Praise God for that, right? You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, working in your lives. One of his main jobs is to bring you comfort. He's going to convict you when you are wrong, because you need to be right with God. When you get right with God, he will bring you comfort. God has told us he wants us to have peace in this life. He even said, I want to give you peace that when the world sees you, they won't be able to understand it. Years ago, I worked at a nursing home. I was employed at. That's a joke. Too bad Josh isn't here. He would have really laughed at that one. But anyway, so I worked at a nursing home, and we had different wings. And one wing was mainly rehab patients. So they were the most demanding because they were the most cognitively there. So you were answering call lights all night long. You were running. It was the busiest hall. People hated work up there. I got put up there. And I'm going along, and I'm just having a great time, and I'm singing praises, because even though I can't carry a tune in a bucket, I used to love to sing. And someone said to me, they're like, I don't understand this. They said, how can you be so at ease when there's so much going on? I said, here's why. Let's look at John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, there is a reason. There is a reason why as Christians, when we go through such horrible, horrible turmoil, when our whole lives seem to be falling apart, when we are out in the middle of the ocean and we are drowning, there is a reason why we can have peace. It's because we, first of all, we understand who God is. Secondly, we know this world is as close to hell as we're ever going to get. But thirdly, we have the Holy Spirit working within our lives, granting us peace that the world can't understand. Go to Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, be known to God And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding. Can I get real personal for a little bit? Years ago, it was about this time of year because I was out bow hunting. I came out of the woods. I had 10 missed phone calls. I had text messages. And it said, get to your sister's house now. And I said, that can't be good. So I jump in my car. I'm driving up. I finally get signal. I call my mom. And I said, Mom, what is going on? And she said, your brother-in-law is dead. I said, oh, no. I said, oh, he's hurt. And she's like, no, he's dead. He came home and he shot himself. I pull up. There's cops there. My sister is beside herself. Nobody else can even function. And in that moment, God showed me one thing. He said, hey, you need peace right now. Here it is. He gave me peace and he let me take charge. My sister, who was so obviously horribly upset. And they finally get Rod's body out and they take him in. My sister's in there. And she looks at me and she says, well, I'm going to the bar. I looked at her, I said, oh, no, you're not. She said, really? She said, I said, who's going to stop me? And I said, I will. She said, well, what if I punch you in the face? And I said, go ahead. You're still not going there. I said, you're either coming home with me or you're going to the hospital. Those are your two choices. Make up your mind. She came home with me. My brother-in-law did not want a funeral, but his other side of the family said, well, we need to do something for him. So we did. My sister's like, well, I don't even know who's going to officiate. I said, well, you don't actually need a pastor to do a funeral. I said, I'll do it. She said, okay. God started reawakening a calling in my life to be a minister there again. I tell you what, I love my brother-in-law. I still miss him dearly. But God gave me the peace to minister to my sister, to minister to all those people there, to show them who God was, even in the midst of tragedy. And it wasn't until I was completely done that I was back at home with my wife that I finally lost it and started to cry. Because I could then, because my job was done. But in that moment, I had peace. This is what it comes down to. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, he will grow peace in our lives and our hearts. This is from Hebrews 5, 22 through 26. Engage, you should be able to tell everybody the fruits of the Spirit. Do you remember them? Well, it's not a coconut, Gage. If it's not a coconut, it's... But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Hebrews 5, 23 through 26. Part of the fruit of the Spirit, if you are living in God, if you are allowing, again, I want to make that word very clear, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life, one of the things he's going to bring through to you, through you, is peace. The biggest thing is you have to allow it. Jamie, come up here, please. I'm about to make Jamie a little bit uncomfortable. It's going to get worse. I guarantee it. So, science has proven that hugs are beneficial to you. But only if you accept a hug is it beneficial. Among other things, hugs can fight stress and induce illness, boost our immune system, reduces stress, increases serotonin, balances the nervous system, helps with aging, helps prevents against heart disease, relieves pain, helps with depression, reduces fear of mortality, can help treat insomnia and anxiety, can decrease food cravings, increases bonding and strengthens relationships, improves self-esteem, causes muscles to relax, increases empathy and understanding, and increases happiness. Now, science came up with a brilliant reason why this all happens, but here's my thought on it. In the beginning, God created everything. And he created us to crave interaction with each other. And he created hugs to do all this because he is a God of order. Now, here's the whole thing. I could just go up and hug Jamie, but if he doesn't accept that hug, it's not going to have the same effect on him. Does that make sense? All right? Some people will tell you that the Holy Spirit just works on you whether you want him to or not. The Holy Spirit is God, yes? Does God do anything you don't want him to do to you? Will he ever make you do anything? Will God make you worship him? Will he make you go to church? Will he make you live for him? So why would the Holy Spirit make you do something? That would be contradicting himself, right? The Holy Spirit, above all else, is a gentleman. And if you want the peace and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, you need to be willing to accept the hug he wants to give you. Can I give you a hug? All right, now, I want everybody to get out of their comfort zone for just a minute. I want you to find someone who is not related to you, who you are not married to, who is of the same sex as you are, and I want you to go up and I want you to give them a hug. The same sex.
It's not Hebrews, it's Galatians.
It's Galatians?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. All right.
It's Galatians 5.
Thank you. All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for doing that. And honestly and truly, don't you feel a little bit better now that you got a hug? Hugs are amazing. And hugs, I'm telling you, hugs were given by God. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. But here's what it comes down to. Do I have anything to receive it? God will never force you to do anything. ever. He may throw obstacle after obstacle after obstacle to get you to stop, but he will never physically turn you around. We know the Holy Spirit is a part of God, therefore the Holy Spirit will not force you to do anything. Anybody who tells you different is a liar. And if you tell them that, you can say, Pastor Josh told me that. And they can come to me and argue with it. The Holy Spirit may convict you. He may try to get you to turn, but he will never force it on you. You can accept it or reject it. That is up to you. Above all else, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You need to remember that. Our God is a God of order. When God set everything up, he set it in an order. And when we get into the final sermon of the series, we're going to talk all about that. Because we're going to look at tongues. We're going to look at the misuse of tongues. We're going to look at the flat-out abuse of tongues, and we're going to look at the order and presentation of tongues. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. If you reject it, he will convict you. He will try to comfort you. He will try to bring you. He will try to bring you peace. But I am telling you, you can keep the Holy Spirit from working in your life. You can reject the gift that has been given to you, just like Jamie rejected that hug from me. If you want the comfort and the peace that God is trying so desperately to give you, you need to accept it. Because I want to tell you right now, you are worthy of that comfort and that peace. We're going to talk more about that in the end. So where does encouragement come from? Ever since he came, the Holy Spirit has been encouraging believers. Acts 9:31, we get a very, very detailed picture of what the Holy Spirit did in the early church. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. Encouraged by the Holy Spirit. God wants to use the Holy Spirit to lift you up. How many of you here have ridden in an airplane? How many of you understand how an airplane works? Correct me if I'm wrong here. Airplanes work off of a principle called lift. Am I correct so far? Here's the part that's kind of backwards, though. If I'm right, John will correct me if I'm wrong. As air pushes over top of the wings, right? So as the plane speeds up and air goes over top of the wings, that causes the plane to lift. Let's read James 4, 7 through 10. James 4, 7 through 10. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. As the Holy Spirit, trying to think how to say this the best way, as the Holy Spirit floods over top of your life, he lifts you up. and encourages you, tells you to keep going. When it gets so bad and you feel like you can't go on, the Holy Spirit will be there. Sometimes he'll give a word to a person to encourage you. Raise your hand if you've ever had someone come up to you and give you a word that hit exactly what you were dealing with and just encouraged you to keep going. Powerful. Acts 4:36 says this, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas was an encourager. Acts 11, 20 through to 26. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw the grace that God had done, and he was glad and encouraged them to all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So Barnabas took a word he was given and used that word to encourage that church. That may very well happen to you. Someone may come up to you and say, hey, I don't know why I'm supposed to tell you this, but I'm supposed to tell you this. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. As scary as it might be, if the Holy Spirit gives you a word, give that word. I use an example of my own life. It was our first Good Friday service we ever had here. And it was so impactful. Pastor Jesse said, okay, come up and take communion, whatever you want. And I'm praying. And God's like, hey, the Holy Spirit's like, you need to pray with someone tonight. I'm like, okay, I can do this. So I go up front and I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me who it is. And looking at like Clint and Sarah, I'm like, yeah, I know them. I'll pray with them. No, not them. I'm like, oh, okay. Rolling. It's rolling, right? And all these people I knew kept coming forward, and the Holy Spirit's like, nope, 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 nada, nope. I'm like, fine, guess I was wrong. Went back to my seat, sat down, looked over, and saw Alexa's dad, and the Holy Spirit said, him. And I said, no, I don't know him. You want me to go up to a complete stranger? I literally said hi to him tonight and go say, hey, can I pray with you? And the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, that's what I want you to do. And I sat there and I fought it. Now, did the Holy Spirit make me get up and go pray with him? But he convicted me I had to. And I went up and I prayed with him. I still remember the words that started coming out of my mouth as I prayed, God, give this man peace to let him know his daughter is safe here, among other things. And I said amen, and I went and sat down. After the service, I ran up to Alexa. I said, I might just freak your dad out. I am so sorry. I totally did not mean to do that. I had to. Went up and prayed with him. He doesn't know who I am. It's probably like all these Pentecostals. He came up to me after the service. Can I share what you said? Came up to me after the service and he said, I don't know how you knew what I was going through. He said, but it was everything I could do not to load up my daughter and take her back home with me. Just to give you an idea of why he was feeling that, this was the same day. The day after her next door neighbors or in a different apartment, right? But different apartment building, there was a murder suicide right next to her. So yeah, I can see if you were a dad, like, yeah, I'm taking my baby girl back across the country with me. But the Holy Spirit, because I listened, gave her father encouragement that she was where she was supposed to be. And obviously, we all have been blessed because of it. And in the words of our youth group, if Danny hadn't married Alexa, he would be a loner. Do I have to do anything to receive the encouragement? Same thing, I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit will never force you to do anything. You don't want encouragement from him? Shut him out. It is that simple. But this is what Isaiah says in 61:3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirits of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Isaiah 61:3. When times get tough, praise God. Times are good, praise God. When you don't know what to do, praise God. So what are the results of my actions? You allow the Spirit to work, you'll receive comfort and peace when needed. I want to ask you a question right now. I want to take you through my life this last week. I'm not going to go into details, but I had the worst week I've ever had. It's so much easier to understand spiritual attacks when you're looking back on them than when you're in them. I screwed up pretty majorly, did some stupid things. Very grateful for grace. In the end, my stupid action only hastened something that was going to happen anyway, just shortened it up by a couple months probably. The results were still the same. But I was so beat down and so depressed. And my wife kept reaching out to me, sending me verses to read. And I kept clipping them off and throwing them. Because you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, man, I don't deserve peace. I don't deserve comfort. I deserve to feel bad. I deserve to feel depressed. You know who I was listening to? I was listening to the enemy. God was sitting there screaming at me, trying to get my attention, and I was just listening to the enemy saying, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve any of this. It was so bad. Plus, I was behind at my other office job. I was trying to get stuff done, so I'm a day behind getting my sermon done. Get my sermon notes done on Wednesday. It is getting worse. And I'm like, why can't someone just tell me what an idiot I am and how much I deserve to feel this way? That's what I wanted to hear. And as I was going back over my notes again for my sermon, I said, God, you say there's peace. You say there's peace. I'm not getting any peace. I looked at my phone. I looked at my messages. And I said, my wife has been sending me scripture messages, but I won't even open and read them. Finally opened those, and I started reading them. Started dwelling on what God was telling me. God was saying, yeah, you screwed up. And? Pick yourself up now. God was telling me, you want peace? I'm trying to give. You want comfort? I'm trying to give it to you. You are actively blocking the comforter from working on you. He is trying to give you a hug, and you are pushing him away, saying, no, thank you. Because I thought I don't deserve grace. I tell you what, the second I said I deserve grace, the Holy Spirit flooded into my life, and I felt good. I still screwed up. I know I was still wrong. I already made amends. There's nothing more I can do. The Holy Spirit flooded my life and gave me that peace. So I want to tell you this right now. I want to challenge you this right now. If you are sitting there, if you are dealing through a hard time, because this life is hard, this life is rough, and you will get beat down. And if you are at a point right now where you are looking for peace, but the enemy is telling you you don't deserve peace, I'm saying that is so wrong. Christ didn't go to the cross for you and die for you and rise again so you could wallow in despair. He didn't say, I'm going away to send the comforter so the enemy could rob you of that. I'm saying if you need peace, let the Holy Spirit in. If you allow the Holy Spirit to work, you will continue to grow in Christ. Shutting the Spirit off is going to shut off your growth. Here's the best one. We will see others come to God as they see what God can do. You know what this world is looking for? We have people coming into churches wanting to know if God is real. And I guarantee you, when they look at your life and they said, I want what God did to them. I saw what God did with this couple over here. I want that. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work, people will know God is real and still working. Here's the flip side to it, though. Shut them out. This is your choice. If you shut the Holy Spirit out of your life, there's going to be no comfort, no peace when needed. You're going to be like me at the beginning of this week. God, where is your peace? Trying to shove it onto you, but you're saying no. God, where's your comfort? There was no peace, there was no comfort because I wanted to feel bad. How silly is that? No encouragement will come. We may get frustrated and quit working for the Lord. I shared this story before. I'm going to share it one more time. I was in Walmart one day, and Lacey was shopping, of course. And I got tired, and I sat down. And I said, and all these people are passing, and the Holy Spirit's like, why aren't you witnessing to them? And I said, because I don't want to. And he said, really? Did I say go share the gospel if you want to? I said, no. I said, okay, fine, God. I said, I will witness to someone, but here are the conditions. They must come here and sit down right next to me in this chair. Then and only then will I share the gospel with them. And I said, but God, I am really down, and you better give me a win. Because if I share the gospel with one more person and they turn around and walk away saying, you're an idiot, I'm going to lose it. So this guy shows up. I'd taken care of his parents in the nursing home. And we're talking, and suddenly he's like, yeah, I'm a little bit tired. I want to sit down next to you. And he sat down in that chair, and I looked over, I'm like, huh. I'm like, this one doesn't count. Once again, did the Holy Spirit make me share the gospel with that man? Oh, he laid it on thick. He's like, ahem, you put the fleece out. I kept it dry. Now why aren't... So I shared the gospel with him. I was like, I said, you know, you talk about your mom getting older now. I said, I've noticed as my mom gets older, I start thinking about my own mortality. Because I watched someone that I've known, you know, declining. And I said, it really makes me think about what's going to happen to me when I die. He goes, oh, yes. He goes, that's been on my mind a lot. I'm like, ka-ching, perfect opening. I said, really? I said, well, if you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? He turned around and he said to me, well, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. 90% of the people, when you ask them where they're going to spend eternity, will say heaven, whether they realize they're right or wrong. So the next obvious question is, why should God let you into heaven? He looks at me and goes, well, I put my faith in his son as my savior. My sins have been washed by the blood of the lamb who rose from the grave. And I started laughing. I said, praise God. I said, I was about to share the gospel with you. And as I was thinking, I was like, this wasn't really the victory I was looking for, God. You know what he says to me next? He says, good for you and keep it up. Because if I had known God and I sat down here next to you, I could have walked out that door, died, and gone to hell. He said, people need to know the gospel. That little bit of encouragement, because I said, God, I need encouragement to keep going. That kept me going. We need the Holy Spirit to grow. Without it, no growth. Without the Holy Spirit working in our life, others will not see what God can do. They will see every other nondescript church. I'm not picking on any churches right now. I want that to be very clear. But people are going to churches because they want to know that God is real and that God can still do things. And if the Holy Spirit is not present, God cannot move. We want to see miracles. We need the Holy Spirit working through us. Finally, people will not know God is real, but simply a good idea. How many of you have been told that? Yeah, that whole God thing, that's a good idea. Yeah, love your neighbors, that's a good idea. Church, that's just something we do, isn't it? You know, we're Christers. Show up at Christmas and Easter. Yeah, church, I give my money, I'm there at least once a month, you know? I'm a good Christian. You know, I have to go to church, so I go. That's the world we're living in. You don't believe it's true, talk to someone out there once. Or they'll say, yeah, I don't go to church at all. Or seriously, I attend on all the holidays. I'm there for weddings. Does that count? Oh, and I'm there, someone's getting baptized, I'm there, front row. That's the world we're living in. We want people to come to know the truth of Jesus, to be saved, and to have... I'm going to be very careful with these words. A blessed life. Not saying God's going to make you rich and powerful and give you everything you want, but I will tell you this. If you live for Christ, he'll supply all your needs. Not your wants, your needs. He'll give you each day your daily bread. Last question is yours. Will I accept the comfort and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit? As always, if you need prayer, for anything, the altar is open. If you want me to pray over you, I will pray over you. Anything big, anything small, the altar is always open for you. I want you to take one thing away from this. God wants to give you comfort and peace. He wants to encourage you. but he will never, ever, ever make you do it. You have to receive that hug. That hug of peace, of comfort, of encouragement. You are sitting out there right now, and you're like, I need to receive that hug. Ask me. If you want to come forward and be prayed over, I will pray with you for the peace of the Holy Spirit to enter into your life. I will pray for the encouragement to come. And if you are sitting there right now saying you don't know what's going to happen to you when you die, please come talk with me. God sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, that you won't have to face eternity in hell. Just like everything else, that is a gift you have to accept. He will not force you to take it. We're going to close in prayer. When you feel God is done with you, you are free to go. I hope to see as many of you as we can next week as we continue on. Holy Spirit, our counselor. We're going to look at next week as how the Holy Spirit works to show us which way we need to go. Holy Spirit is the navigation system of our life. We're going to look at that next week. Let's pray. When you feel God is done with you, you are free to go. Dearly Father, we thank you for this important part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. As he comes to give us comfort and peace and encouragement, God, we are so thankful for that. We're so thankful that there is comfort and there is peace. Encouragement to keep going and to keep fighting for you. I pray this for everybody here, that they would receive everything they need today. From conviction to encouragement, God, let the Holy Spirit fall. If there's any in here, Lord, who needs you, let them open up their arms to you. God, we pray that you would keep us all safe through this next week. We pray for the men who will be leading for men's conference on Friday. We pray that you would bless our journey down there, that you would give us each a word that would impact our lives, then we would come back changed. Keep us safe this week and bring us all safely back together next week that we can worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It sounds like this is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive.